This is Julianne. Welcome to what will now be the sixth episode of the My Muddlings podcast. And if you've been following me before, you know that it's been quite a while since I've recorded. It's actually nearly a year, 11 months. And I had a flash of inspiration today, and I thought, well, why not? Let's get back to it. So here I am again. I hope you're all still there. I've been noticing that people are still downloading the podcast, even though it's been a while since I've recorded, and that's really great. And so I guess we'll just start on a little bit of a personal note. It has been nearly a year. I'm still trucking along. I've previously spoken about hindrances that I've had to actually podcasting with things like my mental health and even just my physical health. Even today, I have a bit of a froggy throat and a little bit of a blocked nose, so I might sound a little bit funny, and I apologise for that. But in regards to things like my mental health and that, I'm doing pretty well at the moment. I went through quite a bad patch a couple of months ago, and after 3 years of doing talk therapy, I actually decided to go on to some medication, and I've been on that for about 6 weeks now, and I feel that it's really made a change, and I have a lot more energy, and I think that's what's partly spurred me on to revive the podcast, and I'm really, really glad to be back doing it. I haven't been doing a lot of interaction on the boards on Ravelry or anything like that. I haven't really been doing much with my handmade business either, but that is something that I feel like I'm getting the energy and the mojo back to actually start making again. Pretty much the only things that I have been doing in the meantime is knitting, and I have finally learnt to spin as well. If you've been listening for a while, you know that I mentioned that I'd like to get into spinning, and I have now done that. I started in November of last year, so that'll be a new segment that I will be talking about. So, all right, that's pretty much all I wanted to say about that. So I can get onto what's on the needles, and pretty much I think I set it as a goal at the start of last year that I wanted to become more monogamous with my knitting, and until probably the start of this year I wasn't so much being monogamous, but I have found that I was getting far too many whips on the needles, and I do get stressed very easily with my my mental health, and I figured, and it was also suggested to me by my therapist, that I should keep to, you know, just one or two projects at a time, just to keep my stress level down and not let that overwhelm me. So I'm mostly working on one project at a time. I still do have quite a few whips, but I'm deciding to hibernate all but, you know, one. And even if I swap projects every week or every couple of weeks, so long as I'm just working on one project at a time, I'm finding that I'm not getting overwhelmed, and I'm actually completing a lot more than I was by constantly spreading the attention across a bunch of different projects. So at the moment, the main thing that I am working on is the Waiting for Rain shawl. And this is a pattern by Silvio Bobilvia. And the reason that I'm actually knitting this, and I've actually given myself a little bit of pressure with this one as well, is because Kristen at the Yarngasm podcast is actually doing a knit along. So I finally decided to participate. I really wanted to knit the shawl because I think it's absolutely beautiful. But I'm trying not to purchase more yarn. I'm feeling overwhelmed with the amount of yarn that I have as well. So I didn't really feel that I had enough because it calls for about 700-800 yards of yarn. I didn't have anything in one colour that I have of that yardage. However, last week I was thinking, what can I use? And I stumbled across some Unwind Yarn Company yarn that I have, And I purchased it in, Dana had a sale, I think in October or early November, where she gave out a coupon code for all of her Halloween colourways. So I purchased two skeins back then. And the colours that I purchased were Death Watch Beetle and Goth Girl. Now, Goth Girl, I think, is one of the really popular ones that everybody seems to like, and she usually sells out, but I was lucky enough to snag a skein with the discount. So, yeah, inspiration struck last week, and I suddenly thought, oh, those two colours would be amazing, because there's actually a hack for the Waiting for Rain pattern where you can stripe it and have the lace panels as a contrast colour. So the pattern itself is a crescent-shaped shawl, and it has short row lace sections. Now, these are really, really cool. I've never really seen something like this before. So I would definitely suggest, if you haven't seen this pattern, go and have a look, because it's really, really gorgeous. And the hack is great with the contrasting colours. On the project page, she's got it in a grey, which is just all one colour in the grey, and also one that's in like a cream and sort of a pale, dusty pink as the contrast colour. Yes, so the yardage that is suggested is 780 to 800 yards, and with my two skeins of Unwind Yarn Company, they're 400 yards each, so I'm hoping that however I figure it out, that I'll have enough. I think you're supposed to have more of the main colour, which is what I'm using, Goth Girl, as the main colour. However, if I run out of that, then I'll just finish it up with the Death Watch Beetle. The Death Watch Beetle is a very odd name, but it's I think it was inspired by the movie Practical Magic, where Sandra Bullock sees the Death Watch Beetle and her husband passes away. Spoilers for the film, sorry. It's very old, so if you haven't seen it, then, you know, not my fault. and it's really an amazing, amazing colour. I really love it. It's a combination of sort of like a very bright blue, sort of slightly darker blue, some purple, some greens. It's kind of, if you can imagine, you know, a beetle has that kind of oil wash kind of colour, where you have those different iridescent blues and greens and purples. So, yeah, that's the colour, and it's working up really beautifully with the Goth Girl, which is a sort of it's a purple, but I'd probably call it a bit more of them on the red, the warmer side. And it's almost like, it's not a speckle yarn, but it's not densely coloured. So there's a lot of the white that kind of flecks through. So it looks really, very varied when you knit it. So it's more of I wouldn't even call it a tonal. It's just all the one colour, but it's not saturated colour. So that's working out really beautifully. I've just done the second, this morning actually, I finished the second lace short road section. So I think there's two more of those to go before the end. And the knit along with the Yarngasm podcast finishes on the 1st of May. So I only started this on the 13th of April. I'm probably two-thirds of the way through, so I'm hoping to finish that up, seeing it's the only thing that I'm actually currently working on. I'm hoping to finish that up by the deadline. So this month for Off the Needles, as I said, I'm doing sort of one project at a time. This is also for a couple of knit alongs. One is the Just One More Row 12 and 16 sock knit along. So there's a plan, and every month has a different type of sock that you're supposed to do to actually be able to get an entry into the prize draw. And the other one is the Yarngasm's Box of Socks cowl. I don't actually have my box organised yet, but it is a year-long knit-along, so it's a minimum of 12 socks that go in the box, and it closes on the 1st of January next year. So it's quite a while for me to get my box sorted. And for the April pair of socks that I've done for both of those is the Time Traveller Socks, which is by Liz Sedmak. And this is a free pattern, and it's a toe-up sock with just some ribbing. It has a pretty interesting heel construction, where you increase, and then it creates then you do your short rows, which are on the back of the heel. So rather than, you know, like you imagine a cuff down sock where you do your heel flap, then you do your short rows to shape that cup for the heel, and then you do your foot. This is more you go along, you do your increases, and then you do your short rows, which become the back of your heel rather than the cup at the bottom. So I'm knitting these out of some Bendigo Woolen Mills sock merino nylon blend that I've had in my stash for quite a while. I actually knit my dad a pair of these for Father's Day last year, and I kind of have this strange little thing where I like to be matchy-matchy with some people. If I have the yarn left over, I like to knit myself the same as I've knit for somebody else, just so we can kind of be matchy-matchy. I don't have any kids, so I can't do... you know, mother child matchy matchy stuff. So I like to secretly make matchy matchy items for myself that match other people's that I've done as gifts. Yeah, so this is sort of like it's a mix of blues that go from light to dark, almost purple in sections. And it kind of, it just makes a very variegated, splashy, flashy kind of sock. So they're pretty cool. I enjoyed knitting those. I knit them very quickly. I did them in 7 days, which is pretty impressive. I didn't have a ton of yarn. I had 284 yards for that one. So the cuffs aren't quite as long as I usually prefer, but I kind of had to split my yarn in two and go as far as I could. So yeah, they're very simple, very effective. And I knit those on 9-inch circulars, my higher sharps, and I knit those on 2.5mm. So as I said, I've not been doing a lot of sewing, but I have learnt a new craft, and that is my spinning. So I thought I better have a chat about that. I'm wanting to do a good blog post, and that's on my blog at mymudlings.com. So I'm cooking up a blog post to put on there to put, you know, some pictures of my wheel and yarn that I've done so far, because I haven't actually shared it on there yet. So people who, you know, maybe don't follow me on Instagram or Ravelry wouldn't know that I'm actually spinning yet. So and it's been a little while since I learned. And I just feel that I'm getting, you know, better and better the more that I do it. So, and that's pretty exciting. So I guess that's the other reason why I don't want to buy much yarn anymore, because I'm spinning my own now. So I'm adding to my stash with my other craft. So a little bit of info. I actually picked up a secondhand wheel from a friend of mine, and it's just a basic traditional wheel. So it's the one that you would recognise from the fairy tales and things like that, with a big wheel on the side. And then you've got your mother of all and your flyer and everything on the left-hand side. Initially, my friend said to me, she says, good luck with it. I haven't been able to figure out how it works. There's, you know, it's not been very successful for me. And talking to another friend who is a spinner, she said to me straight away, she says, well, you've got no brake band on your bobbin. So if you're a spinner, you'll understand that the brake band actually helps the flyer to... not thread, that's the wrong word, but to actually wind the yarn around the bobbin. And yeah, she didn't have the brake band, so that was why it wasn't feeding any yarn onto the bobbin. So one day I just popped it in the car and I took it over to my dad. He's a woodworker, and one of those guys that, you know, he sees a nut or a bolt on the ground, he'll pick it up and he'll put it in a little jar and keep it. And so he's got lots of bits and pieces around that he can use to fix things, and he's incredibly handy, and he did a great job cleaning it up, getting some WD-40 onto the bearings and the bits where the, you know, all the movable parts, just to loosen them up, give them a bit of lubrication. He gave it a bit of a polish, and helped me out with some fishing wire and a little spring for my brake band. So I had my brake band, and yes, so I started spinning back in November, and it's amazing now to me to see the difference in the quality of the yarn that I'm producing. You know, as probably most people are, unless they're, you know, extremely gifted, when they start spinning, you get very thick and thin. Drafting the right amount of fibre out to get a consistent yarn does change, because you're not, you know, you're still forming that muscle memory and trying to get it, trying to just get your foot and your hands and everything coordinated to be able to get a consistent yarn. As part of my learning, I have watched, I think, three now Craftsy courses on spinning. So there's, you know, there was basics of spinning, drafted from worsted to woolen was really great. That was with JC Boggs Faulkner. That would definitely be a course that I would recommend if you're interested in learning to spin. I found that really informative. And I did one, I think it was spinning dyed fibre with Felicia Lowe of Sweet Georgia Yarns. That was also really good, learning different ways, you know, to either mute the colours or bring the colours out. And the other one that I've watched is Ply to Knit, I think it's called, with Gillian Moreno, and that was really good as well. Just learning tension and, you know, how much twist you want to put in when you're plying for whatever type of yarn, because, you know, your two-plied yarns, you want to ply them until they twist back on themselves when you pull it back off the bobbin. But like a three-plied yarn, you want it just sort of to hang. So that was really good to learn. And I'm getting finer and finer, which is what I want, because I guess, you know, usually you buy a 100-gram lot of fibre, you know, from most hand dyers and things like that, and you want to kind of get as much, well, I do, I want to get as much yardage as I can out of that 100 grams. So I've been trying to spin finer and finer so that I can get sort of fingering to sort of a sport weight yarn, because just to get that extra bit of yardage out of it so that I can knit something, you know, really decent with what I've spun. So at the moment I'm working on a couple of different fibers. I'm actually just sampling them at the moment. I started watching the Woolen Spinning podcast, and that has been really, really informative. And that's by Welford Pearls, and actually I'm really sorry, her actual name is escaping me just at the moment, and I'm doing this completely off the cuff, I don't have any notes today, but yeah, definitely check that one out, that's a great podcast. She's actually just announced that she's not going to be doing the video podcast anymore. There is some potential that she might be doing an audio podcast, but even that's not a promise, even though I listened to her announcement podcast this morning and she does a really great job. She's got a lovely soothing voice, and I would definitely be interested if she was doing the audio podcast. So yes, I'm sampling, I've just pulled out, I have some Bendigo Woolen Mills ready spin fibre, and this comes in a kilo packet, so that's, you know, your 10 times your 100 grams. So I pulled out 100 grams of two of the colours that I have. One is called Oxford Grey and the other one is called Tea Rose. So as you can imagine, Oxford Grey is a heathered grey, and the Tea Rose, you know, you would think it would be like a dusty pink, but it's actually more of a mauve. So I'm currently spinning up the Oxford Grey. I've done one bobbin of that. I'm just spinning it as a three ply because I want to try and get them as a worsted weight, because I do have so much fibre. I thought some nice worsted weight cardigans would be really beautiful out of those, out of that fibre. So yes, I'm currently spinning the Oxford Grey. I have one bobbin done, of 33 grams. And hopefully we'll get on to the second strip of fibre today. And I think Friday, I think I started when I pulled it all out. April 15th. So was that Friday? I'm not sure. Anyway, that was when I pulled out the 100 grams of each. And I spun up the tea rose fairly quickly, just in a day, I think just 24-hour period. I let it rest overnight, and then I plied it up, and it's come out a really beautiful worsted weight. And that's a traditional three ply, so I've not chain plied. It's just three separate pliers that I've spun together. And I got from, I think it was 99 grams I ended up of the finished weight, I got 230 odd yards. I haven't actually added it up, I apologise, and I'm not good at math on the fly, but I've got, about 230 yards in the two skeins. I did have a ply break, unfortunately, while I was plying, so I had to make it into two skeins, but that's okay. And I soaked it, and it actually fooled quite a bit. It got a little bit felty. It's almost of the consistency of the Quince & Co. Lark, if you've ever used that. That sort of seems a bit sort of slightly felted. So it's a bit like that. It's very sticky. And I wound the smaller skein up into a ball, and I did a swatch because I've found a cardigan that I want to make out of this, and I knit it up in a swatch, and I got gauge by just going up, usually because I'm a tight knitter, so I usually go up at least one needle size to swatch from what the pattern says, and I got gauge for this one. So I'm hoping to knit the Citadel by Hohe Locatelli, which is a very, very long cabled cardigan with a shawl collar. So yeah, that's what I wanted to knit the tea rose into. So yeah, I did my swatch, worked out fine, and the pattern calls for 4 mil needles, and I did it on a 4.5 mil needle, and it came out perfect, which I was really glad about. And the swatch is absolutely beautiful. I was just bowled over by how consistent my yarn is now compared to when I first started. The yarn is such a beautiful heathery colour, and I just love it, and I can't wait to start knitting this cardigan. I've got a little way to go, seeing I've only knit 100 grams of my yarn. How many? Let me just have a look and see how much I'll need, because I'll need to knit the extra large. So I'll need 1,780 yards for my size of the cardigan. So yeah, I'm at 230 yards plus some that was used for the swatch. So I've got a little way to go. I should be able to make that out of my 1 kilo with some to spare. So, I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm hoping potentially I might actually be able to enter this into, the woolen spinning, Zero to Hero Cal, sorry. My brain's being a bit deficient today. The Zero to Hero Cal, which is basically a spackle, so it's a spin along, knit along. So I'm hoping that I can get that made this year and entered in for prizes. That would be a lot of fun. I mean, I think the handspun cardigan itself would be the prize, but it's always nice to get a little bit of a peck. And my Oxford Grey that I'm also hoping to get similar yarn, like a nice worsted weight yarn out of. I want to knit the Fuse cardigan, and I'm not sure who that's by, and as I said, I didn't make any notes, and this is all on the fly, so I'll see if I can find it for you. But it's basically like it's a cardigan that has a very long front that turns into it basically creates almost like a shawl, like, you know, when you wear a shawl wrapped around your neck, and you've got sort of like, imagine a triangle shawl, you've got the V at the front with the tails around your neck. It almost looks like that because it's got these long drapey fronts on them, and it's by Veronique Avery, there you go. And it's suggested for Brooklyn Tweed Shelter, and from what I've heard, it's not actually available, I don't think, in Australia, but from what I've heard, even though it's not the same, it is wool, yeah, it appears to me to be a bit of that sort of slightly felted kind of hand spun almost look yarn. So I think my hand spun, if the Oxford Grey turns out much the same as the Tea Rose, will be perfect for this this cardigan, and the heathered look will be really, really pretty. So it has buttons on one of the fronts of the cardigan. So once it's up around your neck, you actually button on the opposite side of the cardigan. So it creates like a big, lovely, cushy shawl across the front. So yeah, I'm really excited about spinning for both of those. And just to be able to say that, hey, I made this yarn and I knit this cardigan, would be pretty exciting. So yeah, very much looking forward to that. So I haven't really been doing any sewing. I want to, now that I've got this newfound energy, I kind of want to get back into sewing. However, I've really been struggling with my weight. I've put on quite a bit of weight, and especially since starting my medication. So I have lots of lovely fabric that I would love to sew up, but I don't, I kind of feel like I would be wasting it because I don't want to stay this size. I kind of feel like I would be wasting the fabric to make something out of it now at my current size. And I mean, I know when I lose weight, or if I lose weight, that I can always take them in, and, you know, if I lose a lot of weight, I could potentially even cut brand new, you know, pieces out of what I've already sewn. But yeah, I don't know. I have this silly thing in my head, instead of being, you know, I want to do this, I'd like to try this, and just going, well, just do it now. Like, why wait? But I don't know. I feel like I'm wasting. I would love to hear suggestions from you guys, you know, what you think about that, and you know, encourage me if you think I should just go ahead and do it. But yeah, so that's something that's kind of been playing on my mind a little bit. I'd love to do the sewing, but I'm afraid of, you know, in inverted commas, wasting the fabric. And as I said before, I'm actually really wanting to get back into sewing for my shop. I've had the same stock in my shop for a very, very long time, and I'd like to freshen it up a little bit with some new things. I've tried a new type of bag style, so I'd like to get some of those in there and see what people think of those. So other than that, that's about all I've got to talk about today. It's been a lot of fun getting back into this, and like I said, I hope you're all still there. If you'd like to find me online, you can do that in a few places. As I said, I have my blog that I'm wanting to get back into and post a little bit more, and that's at www.mymudlings.com. The show notes for the podcast are available on mymudlingspodcast.wordpress.com. You can contact me at julianec@mymudlings.com. So it's julianec@mymudlings.com. And I can be found on Ravelry and Instagram as Anne of Julie. So AnneOfJulie. And I also have a Facebook page, so that's just www.facebook.com/mymudlings. There is a board on Ravelry for the My Mudlings podcast, so if you have any questions for me or want to say hi, head on over there. I'm aiming to check it a little bit more regularly, and I will be putting the episode threads as I continue along on there. So if you're a new listener, come on down and say hi. I'd love to meet you. And so other than that, happy knitting, happy spinning. I hope you're all well, and take care. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.